some of the benefits of drinking water. We know your skin will be more beautiful, your hair, but you could potentially lose some weight. And that weight loss, or it will increase your energy. Mm-hmm. If you could just do one thing, drink lots of water.
Welcome back, podcast listeners, to the Wellness Connection. We have the lovely Hope Wren here. She is a registered dietitian, a licensed dietitian nutritionist, and a school nutritionist specialist. So she's here to share with us a little bit about how she became the dietitian nutritionist and the specialist, along with shares a little bit about her mission in her near future. Welcome.
Thank you. Well, I'd like to just start with my story. My story's, I believe, is very unique. I was an entrepreneur for many years, and through a tragedy in my life, I had to recreate myself. And in that process, I kind of stumbled across nutrition. I didn't know what it all entailed, but I went full force toward that mission. I was a non-traditional student. I was a mother of four. So I did very well in school, and I was competitive. I got into a dietetic program, an internship, and I sat for the exam, and I became a registered dietitian. So my infancy, I was in healthcare. Healthcare is very fascinating, and it was a small urban community hospital. So that's kind of my passion, the underserved, the impoverished, people who need people that look like me to advocate. And I have an understanding of kind of that unspoken language that people of the same culture speak. So I was fortunate enough to move away from that position into a school situation. I knew nothing about it. Come to find out, it's very fascinating as well. I know it sounds like a lot of hokey, but it really is. I touch the lives of so many students in Baltimore City. I mean, I touch them daily by my choices, by the work that I do. I touch our community at large. In between, or simultaneously between the two positions, I did consulting for Head Start. So I love that too, because Head Start's a holistic program that involves not only the students, but their families. So you get to touch the students and their families. So that was amazing as well. And I have a dream for my next adventure. I hope to be retiring in the next few years. And I have a dream for that part of my life as well, and that's going to involve the geriatric population. So I will have touched every life cycle that a human being can achieve.
That's powerful. Yeah, that's powerful. You're talking about an impact in the community. What way to do that throughout everyone's life journey from beginning to our end?
What, you said you're an entrepreneur. What industry were you in before?
Oh, in the past, I owned an oil company, a heating oil company. It was an energy company. I also owned real estate, so I did some rehabbing back in the old days. It wasn't called flipping, but that's what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And it was profitable. I still have a couple of pieces of rental property, so that's what I was doing prior.
Okay, awesome.
It is awesome, because that's, I would call that a contrast in many ways. Here you're having a greater impact on, first of all, our future, our kids. And that's an amazing role to try to assume, because they are our future. They are impacted by nutrition in many results, in many ways. And with what you're talking about doing, actually having an attraction to the underdog or the impoverished community, that also can impact, because you're not, from what I'm understanding, you're not localizing one particular area of a group of children. It's the massive.
Yes. Food security is important, and food security is more than securing the resources you need. It's obtaining those resources in an acceptable manner. Mm-hmm. And what's acceptable is, I guess, based on that person's culture, their socioeconomic standards. So the acceptable manner is what's important to me.
Food security. Tell me, can you say a little bit, can you define that term a little bit? Because maybe some people haven't heard those two words used together. So how would you elaborate on what food security is?
Well, food security is, in my interpretation, the ability to have the nutritional resources that you need. So we know in Baltimore City, we are in a food desert. Many of our communities are food deserts. So that's a type of food insecurity. If I need something needed immediately, where am I going to get it? Am I going to have to get a cab? Am I going to, you know, it's hard. We know people are food insecure, of course, who don't have food. They're in a famine. And there's just many levels of food insecurity.
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify a little bit deeper, so when we talk about food security, we talk about accessibility. How easily is it to get to, and how to make those choices with the type of foods that are available?
That's part of the, in the acceptable manner. Yes, if I'm hungry and I need food, but I'm also a person of consciousness. I want a reasonable quality of food. It's not acceptable to offer foods that we not ourselves wouldn't eat. That's just not acceptable.
Okay. Yeah.
But it takes a lot of people to, and a lot of people are working on that, to just make it the dream situation where people's needs are met where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Presently, we're here located in Baltimore. Presently in the inner city, there are a lot of initiatives to encourage resources of better choices, meaning healthier choices, and also encouraging learning how to manage a garden in order to retrieve better choices for food choices. So, yeah, I understand what the importance and the impact it can have on someone, you know, from multiple angles, one being cultural. You mentioned culture has a lot to do with it. If you have someone who is more familiar with more grain or rice choices, or someone who prefers more milk products, is that how choices get to be a part of that whole looking at acceptable?
Well, each of us have our experiences from childhood. Mm-hmm. So I would say we bring that with us, the foods and the experiences that came from our families growing up. And as we grow, schools introduce you to different choices and foods. And as you matriculate and you learn more, and if you become very interested in your health, you learn to make better choices.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
But, you know, the adage is we have a high level of knowledge and a low level of behavior.
Yes. Yes, that's what we call familiar habits. And how do we make an impact on them.
So you mean the phrase, if you knew better, you do better, ain't always true?
I'm going to touch on that in our presentation today.
All right. Oh, it's a presentation? I thought it was just a conversation. You got slides? We're going to add some slides to the show notes?
Right. The information I'm presenting, okay. We're going to touch on that because how we feel and what we think impacts our choices.
Yes, most definitely. Depending on when we talk about feelings, we look at the neuroscience aspect of how we feel and how it actually impacts our choices tremendously. There's a lot of research out there today, importantly, that talks about how our frontal brain and our midbrain interacts and how it impacts our daily decision.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right.
And also how advertisers and marketers have learned and studied humans enough to make you believe and think and feel that you want a certain thing.
Right. Yeah, just like they tell you you're going to turn into Joe Pesci if you don't have a Snickers.
Well, are you sure that's not true?
Like you're not yourself when you're hungry.
Right.
I mean, that part is true, but maybe it's not a Snickers that you need to eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're excited to hear more, so do tell us more.
Well, I don't like to, but it's one method to approach nutrition from a standard of beauty. Everybody wants to be beautiful, and beauty is something different to everyone, and nobody can tell you you're wrong because it's your opinion, it's subjective.
Amen.
So when I approach it in that way, no one has to feel guilty. Because if I tell you that you're overweight and your pressure is high and you should be doing this now, the guilt is coming mm-hmm. in. Mm-hmm. So if we approach it from a standpoint of beauty.
I like that.
It's less guilt associated and everyone has their own standard of beauty.
Mm-hmm. I really like that.
I said it's an acronym coming. Is there an acronym coming?
No, I wish I were that creative.
All right. Let's see if we can figure out. Well, let's see. We might figure out an acronym.
Hope with that acronym.
We got a whiteboard up here. We can workshop an acronym. So if something comes up, we might throw some stuff and turn it into an acronym so y'all can remember. How many points is it?
Oh, many, many. Well, no, actually, I just have three basic.
Three big points. Okay.
Yes, three basic points. So
three-letter word, y'all. Eat. EAT.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's see if we can figure out how we can turn it into eat. All right.
Okay.
What's our first point?
So with beauty, when we think of beauty, what are we thinking of?
Face.
Smiles.
Yes, the face. Models on a magazine cover. So that's sometimes is where we go first because we're.
Oh, you know, I think sunset. I think
that's true.
I think nature.
That's beautiful too.
Psych, nah, you know, I'm superficial. You said beautiful. I just thought, you know, that's not the first thing that popped into my mind.
But, you know,
I was just trying to be cool.
Those advertisers, that's what they've done to us to make us automatically associated with some measure or standard that is beauty.
Mm-hmm.
But as I explained earlier, beauty is what you believe it to be. So, you know, professionals, they measure beauty with certain measurements, proportions.
Right.
It's really a scientific thing.
Yeah, aesthetics.
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Just aesthetics.
Yes, mm-hmm. It's really a scientific thing.
So there is some. So as a visual artist myself, I understand there's some things in composition. There's some things in sort of the arrangement of elements within a certain visual field that evokes a certain reaction. So it feeds both ways. So on the one hand, you can definitely say that marketers and advertisers have used these images to condition people to appreciate a certain standard of beauty. And also those standards fit some things that are kind of wired in us automatically.
Absolutely.
So the things that we are drawn to, yes, we've been conditioned for it on one hand, but in some ways we are wired for it sort of primally.
Attracted.
Yeah, because of the signals that that kind of predate marketing and all of that stuff. And it all kind of mirrors things that we experience in nature in some way.
They use the neuroscience of getting to the forebrain. They educate you. They show you the outcomes and the benefits. And you see it constantly. Mm-hmm. And see the, so through our senses, we automatically now create a habit of knowing that's beauty.
Correct. Correct. But barring plastic surgery and extensive makeovers, there's not a lot we can do about our proportions and our aesthetics. They kind of are what they are. It is what it is, unless I'm going to go under the knife and fix something. You have kind of what you have. And I think
it's going to evolve over time.
Mm, right. You had to bring that up.
Oh, I mean, you know.
Well, you mean I can't get taller?
Well, no, it's not necessarily that you're going to get taller, but like, you know, let's keep it 100 now. There's different, everybody has like has a peak somewhere where they're going to be sort of moving into a different paradigm of beauty. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Because right, I know there are a lot of things that are beautiful in a way that is sort of poetic, and then there's beauty that is sort of like attractive. Mm-hmm. So there's different, you know. Mm-hmm. So you can evolve from into a poetic beauty throughout the course of your life. Mm-hmm. But you know, maybe nobody ain't gonna try to holler at you though.
But have you ever looked back at your old photos and so how maybe you were attractive at a certain stage in your life, but you never really realized it until now you're here and you're looking back.
Right. I haven't got there yet. I'm still growing into mine. I know in my family about the time that we hit it.
Oh, nice.
I'm still growing into it.
Oh, you're growing into your beauty.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It means that I'm gonna be a bad dude at 55.
Probably. And especially if you've seen it in the men in your generational
line. Right. Like my dad looks younger than me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And like this is just, I mean, I know I still got some good days ahead of me.
Yeah.
I might not be able to physically do as much about it. Like I can't be out there running around and just kind of in my my lifestyle it won't matter. It's just I'll just be cool.
Great.
So I'm looking forward to it.
You will. You will. Because
Or I might not. I mean, you know, you never know.
Tomorrow's your attitude not has already, you said it, you've spoken it, and it will be so. Mm-hmm. Because it's in your head. That's what you're going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You ain't going to be telling me nothing.
Exactly.
Like
But one thing we can do, unless we get plastic surgery to change our facial structure, one thing we can do is have beautiful skin. Mm-hmm. And beautiful skin, some people just have it, but the attributes of beautiful skin are clear, blemish-free, youthful, firm, smooth. Nobody has all of that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But there are things we can do to improve and preserve what we do have. Mm-hmm. And it's nothing like seeing a beautiful person and just look at them, at their skin, and just say, oh, they're just so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So our skin gives us the kind of indicator of good health. Doctors and dietitians, mm-hmm. If you come to us, we're going to give you that quick assessment. Mm-hmm. Like we're going to look at your skin, your hair, your nails.
Yes. Right.
We're going to take a little peek. Mm-hmm. And there are some things, barring you have, you know, some chronic illness or disease, that we can do that are quite simple. We know our skin is our largest organ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
And its main function is to act as a protective barrier over our bodies and our organs to keep us from toxins, pollutants, microbes, the environment. Mm-hmm. But moisture is the main keystone to beautiful skin. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
Lotion.
No, you're not wrong, but hydration.
Yeah.
Drink. Yeah. And a lot of people struggle. A lot of people struggle with the hydrating yourself, getting enough to drink.
I could tell you there's barriers in our environment that, you know, don't help support that. And, you know, yes, our body's made up of 90% water, and it's important to hydrate our system. Mm. However,
90% is
like
that might be
like
high, 60, that might be on the 70, high end.
Yeah, 60, 70. Indicating it's a lot. You know, yes. And so, with that, how often do we get to drink throughout our day? Even school children, they're in class.
They don't even
I'm at work and I'm going all day. I may lucky get something for lunch. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Are there some suggestions that you can have and how we can maintain that hydration in our lifestyle?
Well, it all depends on your situation. And figuring out the logistics is subjective to each individual. I'm fortunate that I'm either at a desk or in a school, so I have access. But the main thing is to be prepared to have some water somewhere with you. Don't do like my son. My son has a gallon, mm-hmm. and he's walking around. He's on a train.
Just carrying a whole gallon.
He comes to my office. He has this gallon of water. Right. He is committed. Right. But I will say he has some very beautiful skin. Mm-hmm. And beautiful skin is not limited to your face. We're a society where we show skin, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Right.
We show skin. Yes. It's about to be warm. Mm-hmm. People already have shorts on.
That's true.
And as Hope says that, I'm all huddled up in a hoodie with the hat on. We're talking about showing skin. But you know, one of the things that, I was in the Army and drinking water was like a religion. And I used to have this thing called a camelback. So a camelback is like a backpack. It's like a backpack that's a little blister that you can like fill up with water, mm-hmm. and it has a tube where you can just drink mm-hmm. water. And you can wear it, like you could actually wear it underneath a layer of clothing, and you just had like a tube where you can just sip water off the hands free.
kind of like the hat with the two cans of beer.
a little more subtle than that. Right. But yeah, but just I had a backpack that had a camelback built in. So there was a backpack mm-hmm. that had a water blister inside the backpack. Mm-hmm. So that automatically you fill that up and you always got water with you. And you just got this little tube and you just mm-hmm. sip water.
Let's bottle it and sell it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you were just required to drink a lot of water, like mm-hmm. being out in some very extreme conditions. Mm-hmm. Your body forced you to drink mm-hmm. water. Being in 120 mm-hmm. degree heat in full gear, you like, mm-hmm. drink water, fam. Mm-hmm.
That's absolutely true because your body risks shutting down if mm-hmm. you don't have enough. But
walking around here looking like Bambi, legs shaking.
That's, if you're that lucky.
But I play games with myself with drinking water. I have fancy cups that I drink it out of. That kind of encourages me. I drink sometimes with a straw because I can drink more faster. Mm. And I flavor it with fruit or vegetables.
Oh, yes. Infusions.
I like sparkling water. So I play a lot of games with myself to get that fluid in. And you really have to be cognizant that you need to do it and figure out ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's so true. And I agree with you. And being creative and making sure you stay engaged. I find myself right now not desiring water as much as I used to. So I have to also set some creative times and moments to say it's time for some water. Yeah. So yes, you have to be creative. So the bottom line is get the creativity out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So back to the skin, you know, dryness is associated with dehydration. Our lips get all crusty, and that's definitely not beautiful. And as I said, we show a lot of skin. Mm-hmm. So we want that skin to really be radiant. And yes, we can put lotion on it, but lotion is just a topical, temporary fix. But the water plumps our cells up and makes them nice and plump and firm and tight. Although water is not the only piece that we need from nutrition to have beautiful skin. But just back to water, of course, we know it moistens our eyes. We won't have such dry eyes or dry mouth or nose. It protects our organs. Some little sacks of water we have helps you float your organs and protects it from jars and being injured. Regulates our body temperature. Of course, it helps us eliminate our waste. And it helps carry oxygen to our cells because the O on the H2O is the oxygen and helps carry the oxygen to our cells. So water has quite a few advantages, but if you want to be cute,
drink some water. H2O.
It really is true. And
you know,
that city juice.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard of the skin test? If you know, for hydration, mm-hmm. you know, you pinch your skin and mm-hmm. how quickly
it bounces back.
It bounces back. Mm-hmm. It's a good indicator.
And if it sounds like you crumble a piece of paper,
yeah,
then you just immediately just go somewhere and just dive into a water fountain somewhere.
But now that you said that, water's not the only piece. Our skin needs fatty acids from our foods because it's like a piece of leather. If it's all dry and crumbly, water can seep through it like a sieve. So our cells need to be moisturized by the consumption of some fatty acids. So that kind of lubricates and your cells have collagen in between. So we kind of need the good fat as well.
So what are some sources of good fatty acids?
Because I'm about to say, you know they're going to line up for the fried chicken.
That's just, you know. What are some good sources?
Well, I know you've heard all the time about nuts, mm-hmm. walnuts, sunflower seeds, flax seeds, flaxseed oil. You'll find that in a lot of products. You'll see flax and flaxseed oil in a lot of products. Fish, salmon, mackerel, herring, albacore, tuna, corn oil, soybean oil, and safflower oil. So read your labels.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the key things? Because when we talk about fat, there are several types of fats. So which fats are you saying is being...
We want polyunsaturated. We know we don't want saturated. But just read your label to find the source of the fat. And fat should be no more than 10% of your caloric intake.
Monosaturated is pretty good for us as well, isn't it?
Right. That's like peanuts mm-hmm. and nuts.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, they are good for us as well. So let's talk about the aging process because we're in the age of baby boomers. Yes, this is the age of baby boomers, just like Aquarius, the age of baby boomers.
Right.
There are millions of us, and we want to look youthful. We want to look youthful. We want to be youthful. So some of the signs of aging, wrinkles and loose, crepey skin. So what are some of the things we can do as a boomer to keep a youthful appearance? Because the more youthful you appear, the more attractive you are.
Mm-hmm. Going back to that beauty.
Yes. Everybody wants to be attractive mm-hmm. in whatever way you feel attractive.
Yeah. It makes sense. I mean, we all have a sense of purpose, and purpose is feeling worthy, self-worth. Mm-hmm. and feeling valued with even yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The value of yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we are in the right frame of mind and we're in that good mental space, we are just naturally more attractive.
Mm-hmm. We wear it. We walk through the door wearing it. Mm-hmm. We walk down the street.
Yeah, we do.
So
put a little something. You got to put a little something on your walk.
As Jared would say, you'll get hollered at.
I know. It's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
Just listen. Just don't be catcalling though. That's just time out for the catcalling. Don't do that.
What's catcalling?
Right?
You don't know what catcalling is?
No.
That's like when somebody's across the street whistling, "Hey, what?" Like, you know, being inappropriate.
Oh, okay.
You know. be subtle and respectful.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
Right. So as we age, it's still very important to remain hydrated. A study has shown that women who eat very little protein, very little good fats, they tend to be more wrinkled.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not just the water is going to plump up the cells. You've got to lubricate them so that they can hold the water.
Is that the omega-3s?
Yes, omega-3s. Mm-hmm. It also talks about antioxidants. So that's your vitamin C's and your E's. So where is this heading? So now we're back to eating nuts, seeds, leafy green vegetables. And your mom told you, eat your spinach, eat your Brussels sprouts. We know red, orange vegetables. So everything kind of always leads right back to eating the right things.
Mm-hmm, very good.
But just for whatever purpose you like, if you want to be beautiful. I think Angela Bassett, is it true? She doesn't even have a stove in her house.
She eats all raw food?
Yes, she eats all raw food. And that sister is beautiful.
Yes, she is.
Let's see how she looking these days.
Go ahead.
And Jenna Pickett's mom. Yes. She's another one who I was like amazed at her, her beauty and her matureness and her chronological age. Yeah,
absolutely.
Amazing. And her skin is pretty tight.
But I'm sure they're doing the right things nutritionally so that your body can support itself. Your body can heal itself. Mm-hmm. Your body can regenerate itself. We've got to give it the right building blocks to do so.
Very good.
So listeners, I encourage you to Google Angela Bassett and... Angela Bassett is 60.
You hollering?
Huh?
Are you hollering?
Oh no, she's married. She's married to Courtney B. Vance.
Oh, yes, she is. Yes, she is.
Yeah, she's married to Courtney B. Vance of Law and Order, Criminal Intent fame, and other things. Mm-hmm. And he got to stay on his toes. Courtney, you got to stay on your toes, boy.
That lady looks nice.
Wow.
But, you know, there's one part of our lifestyle that's really hard, and it impacts our outward appearance, is stress.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Stress, you know, creates free radicals. Free radicals damage cells. But if we load up on antioxidants, that will help try to mitigate it. But ultimately, we need to learn to mitigate our stress. But that's not my specialty.
Right. Well, that's a good point. You know, just keeping in mind the remedies that are required for that beauty we're talking about. And that's just minimizing your stress. And everyone knows what that looks like. It could be at your job. It could be your own personal internalized stress that you're trying to manage. It could be from family members. But objectively, keeping in mind that the well-being, taking care of yourself, and knowing what you need in order to minimize your stress. Hope you touched on when you first started, you touched on a little bit about how does it look like when we're trying to change a lot of these things with taking in more water, eating more fruits and vegetables, eating nuts. My understanding is that as we go through our stages in life, we also changes occur to our body that we have very little control of, minimal control of, being taste buds, because we're talking about food and, you know, food's known as a place to, a point in your life as a social or something to enjoy, to get some enjoyment out of your eating experience. So as we're talking about our baby boomers and as we are aging and our taste buds are possibly changing, how do we now get the enjoyment out of some of these food choices?
Right. Well, I know culturally food choices look different. Different cultures eat very different things. And we are fortunate to live in this mid-Atlantic region where we're kind of a melting pot. So we have the opportunity to explore. I mean, even on the lunch menu, we have Caribbean food. I've got a Thai thing. Yes. Of course, we got Mexican. So today's generation, even boomers, we just have so much exposure that I think we've kind of varied our diets a lot. I don't think people anymore are so stuck on that down home thing like it, like they used to be. Mm-hmm. We know around the holidays that brings back those memories and my grandmama cornbread and, you know, all of that. So, of course, there are lots and lots of books and research about to make healthy versions of down home or homespun recipes. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it just takes practice. If you cook, it just takes practice. Mm-hmm. You've got to get in there. If it doesn't turn out right this time, do something different the next time. Mm-hmm. And until you get it where you like it. And just try to keep in mind of some healthy rules, low sodium, low fat. And it's a process. Mm-hmm. We just can't just turn the switch one day. Some people can. Mm-hmm. But most of us, it's a process. So I often encourage people to let's do one thing at a time.
You know what I've been testing out is spices. So mm-hmm. I've been extremely being more creative and adding different spices, which makes my whole experience totally different. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually concurring with you with regards to trying different styles and cultures, food choices, because they use different spices and it gives you an exciting experience.
Mm-hmm. It does. And everything's on the internet, whether you want to see it or not. And just Google recipes and practice and try and make it a family event. Mm-hmm. Have some fun. Your children will like it. Mm-hmm. You'll be pleasantly surprised. You can joke somebody all year about that thing that they made that was so horrible or the thing that they made that was so good. Mm-hmm. So we just have to lighten up and learn and don't be so stuck in our old way.
That's good. I like the word lighten up too.
Well, I want to tell a little short story. You're talking about trying new things. And I also want to try to loop back and summarize where we are up to this point to bring all the listeners kind of up to speed. You know, give us some bullet points and then we can get back into what you're talking about. I want to share this story, though. I was living in Germany and my godmother and her husband and two of their friends and my mom all flew over to visit me. And I took them kind of on a tour around Europe. And, you know, these are people who grew up in North Carolina. And, you know, you got your ideas about how stuff is supposed to be. So we were driving through France and we stopped at this convenience store. And my uncle, I think it was my uncle, asked for a lemonade. They were like, and he tried to extract. So they just gave him a whole bunch of lemons. he was there trying to like make some kind of lemonade out of just this water. And it was just like, you know, just try what they have. Yes. Don't try to make like it's home. You over here in Paris, try what they eat over here. Try the way they have it. Mm-hmm. Don't try to like add, you know, make it like it was. But that's sometimes what we do is we try to bring so many things with us as opposed to experiencing the things that are around us. So yeah, and I think relationships play a big part of that. Because my relationship with them and their relationship with the people who I knew over there opened them up to some things that they would not have experienced. Mm-hmm. So we mentioned in other episodes how your relationships and your social circles and things like that have a big impact on those choices that you're making. So, so we're going to circle back and then we're going to take a quick break and get back into some more information. We started out talking about using beauty as an angle to approach nutrition and start thinking about that's yet another motivation and another impact that nutrition can have on your life is beauty and then looking specifically at the skin. We talked about how the role that hydration plays, drinking plenty of water. We talked about the role of omega-3 and fatty acids in adding to and helping to you to retain the moisture that you have in your skin. We talked about eating nuts and fruits and vegetables and things to add to the vibrance and even going as far as a raw diet and the amazing impact that can have on your physical appearance. And there's still more, and I'm sure that Hope is going to share more with us. We're going to take a quick break and come back with some more.
I did a lot of research prior to coming here to this evening, and there was so much research on beauty, but none of it was concrete. It was all, it may do this, it may do that. So you have to kind of sift that stuff out and just stick with some basic premises that we know are absolutely sure and are true. Have you all heard so much, I know recently, about turmeric?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's all the rage now about turmeric being an anti-inflammatory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And anti-inflammatories, they are discussing how it is helping our cells that are damaged due to free radicals, and possibly that could help us. Skin has elasticity.
So hopefully.
That's part of getting old, and you've got parts that are less elastic.
Right, right.
So like you may be able to be like a rubber band when you were 25, but now it's maybe like what?
mm-hmm. Now it's like
crispy.
Yeah.
And that conversation is about collagen, and the decrease in collagen is natural as we age, but there's no real way to get the collagen back. I looked up a lot of ways. When I was growing up, they used to drink the Knox gelatin, and Knox gelatin was supposed to give you collagen, make your hair and your nails grow.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's the over-the-counter creams.
Yes, the creams. And somebody's getting rich off of all of this. Maybe we should make a cream.
Right.
Right. Yes. We could pull a Kylie Jenner and get some kind of plumping cream. She's a billionaire off of lipstick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. She is. Mm-hmm. She is. But vitamin C has shown to help execute pre-collagen. Our bodies can make everything we need.
Mm-hmm.
We already have it.
Mm-hmm.
We have it. And we're eating things that have collagen. So we need to maybe pump up our vitamin C. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, again, that's an antioxidant. Mm-hmm. And it helps our body make the collagen that gives us the elasticity in our cells. And of course, what's our list of foods? Nuts, almonds, berries, avocados. I know mm-hmm. you've heard about avocados, carrots, of course, that mm-hmm. antioxidants, dark green vegetables, garlic, and I was surprised about oysters. I didn't know that about oysters, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. I'm glad because I love oysters.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I love oysters too. I'm a fish person, so anything that comes from the sea, mm-hmm. I'm pretty good with.
And so mm-hmm. basically, overall, nutrition just has a big impact on our appearance. Mm-hmm. And more, as beauty is such a big business, more scientific research and studies going into mm-hmm. that whole beauty and nutrition piece. And it's still evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's a billion-dollar industry. Most definitely. I was looking at that a couple of weeks back, how lucrative beauty is with products and also with food products.
Yeah, so much of the product stuff is, mm-hmm. like you were saying, it's the outside-in approach. And then what you're talking about is sort of the inside-out approach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like mm-hmm. being healthy on the inside and having that radiate through. We talked about some things that are beneficial to the skin. Are there things that you know of that are, you know, going to make you bump up and like be all greasy or whatever? I mean, are there like foods or food choices that in your experience tend to lead to kind of problems with the skin?
Well, the skin, being the largest organ, is covered with nerves. Stress will make your skin break out, rash, bump, the stress.
Okay.
And of course, different people have different allergies or sensitivities. And in my practice, I see a lot of young people mm-hmm. with emerging allergies. Mm-hmm. And the research has changed, and they've asked people to introduce their young ones, the babies, to foods, but before it was prohibited. Now they're saying introduce them early mm-hmm. so that they won't have an allergy,
right, build
or
up the antibodies.
Insensitivity. Mm-hmm.
Right, they build up the antibodies.
To it.
Because I was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to, I think there's a lot to be said about sanitation saves a lot of lives. And it, you know, it makes a lot
renders
of weak people.
Mm-hmm. Renders our food in effect.
Yeah, I mean, because like I grew up, like I ate dirt growing
yeah.
up. You know,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. it was just like just enough, mm-hmm. you know, where and who knows what kind of stuff I got pumped in me over the course of the years in terms of deployments and stuff. But I don't have any food sensitivities at all. Like, I can eat anything, fortunately, at this point, in terms of not having myself react to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mm-hmm. I'm fortunate not to have those types
That's
of
good.
Sensitivities.
I developed a food allergy to mussels at a stage of my changing course of my life. It could have been the mercury. I'm not sure. However, just to address a little bit more about food choices and how it affects the skin, being in the health field, from a therapeutic standpoint, a lot of patients that do have skin issues, like we're around cellulitis, what we've been seeing a lot of is infection, is due to lifestyle choices. And it has to do with eating a lot of fat, saturated fat-based type of products. It does affect the coronary system and the circulatory system, which then rolls into what we call peripheral vascular disease and some other, you know, chronic type issues. So, yes, food choices do affect how our skin looks. And we see it quite often. Mm-hmm. So, yes, just wanted to share that mm-hmm. from a therapeutic standpoint, because I'm working a lot with those that population who are coming in with skin breakdowns and infections, and had to do with their a lot of their lifestyle choices.
Mm-hmm. And you know your scalp, people love beautiful hair.
Yes.
They love to buy it. I'm not mad at them. I bought enough of it.
I'm going to buy some.
Got to get that yakky.
But our scalp is just our skin. Mm-hmm. Our scalp is our skin, and we should be careful with what we put on it. We see a lot of dermatitis and a lot of, we think it's dandruff, but
it's a reaction.
It's a reaction to what we're putting on our skin.
Yeah, it's the glue from them tracks.
Yeah.
But the same principles with your skin goes for your scalp.
Yeah, you're right. Because when I think about, I've never had the experience. I've never gotten, hair extensions. And but I used to get, my hair used to be extremely thick. And so I remember as I was starting to go into the workforce, my mom suggested, you're going to be in the profession. You need to, let's go get a perm. And after years of using the perm, and the effects it had on my scalp itself and how it actually worn the hair follicles as well. So needless to say, I'm no longer a product of that lifestyle. But yes, but not only that, my colleagues who would get extensions, it would literally rip their hair out of their scalp.
Pull that follicle
out.
Yes,
and it's, and they could not, it took them a long time to get regrowth in that area. So it does impact beauty in different forms. So choices of how we decide, what we decide to put into our, on our body could also have an effect mm-hmm. on what we're talking about here with Ms. Hope, keeping the skin healthy.
Right. One thing I ran across today, I don't think I knew this. It said that iron deficiency is the most common cause of hair loss in women.
That's very interesting. I wasn't aware of that myself. Mm-hmm. I know some of the cases where there's some iron deficiency, and I know it more from a neurological standpoint, the impact that I see with a lot of the clients I work with. But that's very interesting to know that it also impacts your hair.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Well, how do you get iron? What's the best ways to get iron?
Well,
cooking a skillet.
What? I think that's a good one.
Yeah,
though.
It might be. Right. Yeah.
The cast iron.
Yes.
The cast iron is mm-hmm. a good one. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, through our foods, we get a lot of iron. Women and some people are just anemic and they need to seek professional advice from their physician as what level of iron they need mm-hmm. from their blood work, their lab draws. But women and older people are notorious for having low iron, mm-hmm. but you can eat enough to keep your iron at a nice therapeutic mm-hmm. level.
Yeah, and I like how you suggested to our listeners, read your labels. Your labels do indicate how much iron is in that product. Your labels are full of information, a load of information. It's a nice little way to learn more about what you're actually eating, what's added, what's not added. You got some funny names instead of some of those labels. So, and also what they have in their ingredients, you can also read and learn about as well. So, yeah, that's amazing about iron.
Mm-hmm. We just use a standard. The labels report, one way they report is the percent per your daily value.
Mm-hmm.
So I typically say if it's 5% or less, it's low. If it's 5% or greater, and the higher it becomes, then it's can be way too high, from low to moderate,
right?
To
because because you can only process so much of it. Mm-hmm. Like it can have. I see a lot of labels that have some ridiculous percentage up there, but your body's not even. You're just passing that. That's not even mm-hmm. being absorbed. So absorption is a big thing too, I guess, with those micronutrients.
Yeah, over use of certain minerals and vitamins is you'll see the effect of it, especially through diarrhea. We tend to, when we have patients that are being administered iron pills in conjunction with some other supporting minerals or mm-hmm. vitamins that are taken, once we start seeing loose stools, that's the first thing that we...
That's counterintuitive.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. iron is a metal.
But I thought they were your electrolytes, and you have to have metals in your system, in your bloodstream.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to conduct that electricity.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing to think their body has to have electrical currents to make it work, but it mm-hmm. does.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it does. Yeah. Where we've had some guests on the podcast who share how we are full of electricity. We're energy. We're basically energy. So, with that being said, I think that adds a piece to what we're discovering in our conversation right here.
You're not Iron Man, though. You're not Tony Stark. So your chest is not going to light up. And don't expect that, but
Right. But when we're optimally fed and nourished, I think we can just exude that energy outward.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes us so beautiful.
Right. It's a metaphor. Definitely you can imagine it as a metaphor, as a glow that comes from the inside.
Yes. I know a lot of times with people who are very, who eat plant-based nuts and grains, they do glow. They tend to glow. You're glowing, ho.
And they tend to be clear.
Yes.
And their brain, their thoughts are clear. They're mm-hmm. very clear people.
Yes.
I know. Yeah, I can attest to the impact of diet and clarity. Mm-hmm. And you eat and then you fog.
Itis.
You hit that fog. Yeah, you hit that fog. It's like, man, food is food is the enemy. It's like, food is, I know that there are times when, I have some stored nutrition. Let's call it that.
Mm-hmm. I like
I'll kind of get into sort of a flow state, sort of mentally working on something. And there's no hunger signals at all.
Right.
And I don't feel mm-hmm. hungry. I don't feel anything. I'll drink water or whatever, but it doesn't even occur to me to eat. Because I know that if I do stop and eat, it's going to interrupt that flow. Mm-hmm. I'm already, my body's already working. It's switched over into working with mm-hmm. another source of energy. And if I throw some food in there, it's like... Then you start making plans for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
And speaking of beauty and attractiveness, as a female, there's nothing more attractive than a sharp, clear-minded gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
That is so attractive.
That is very attractive.
And mm-hmm. that kind of clear-headedness comes from a good diet.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would agree with that. Yes. I'm reflecting as Hope is speaking because of some of the gentlemen, men that I'm like, he's attractive. And where others, I'm like, what in the world is he saying?
So I feel like I want to translate that a little bit.
Let's hold on.
No. I mean, yeah, that mental acuity is just really, it's like kind of being present and, yeah, being able to string some sentences together and make some sense. There's a lot of different ways to define that, but at the end of the day, just when you're really there, you're really there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just the beginning, though. You can actually talk yourself right on out of that. You can talk right on past that whole situation.
But you had me though in the beginning.
Right. Right.
He took us over there. We whoop.
Right. But yeah, and then I just demonstrated. You could just talk right past it. You know, you just did. Run the light. That was just a perfect demonstration.
Yeah.
But you had us there for a minute.
Very good. So, Hope, what are some of the takeaways you would like the community to receive as we come to a closure here?
I'd like to go back to my first point about hydration. Mm-hmm. Drinking water, not soda, juice, adding extra calories. Some of the benefits of drinking water, we know your skin will be more beautiful, your hair, but you could potentially lose some weight. It will increase your energy. Mm-hmm. If you could just do one thing, drink lots of water.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I agree with that. I even noticed that if, at our St. Patrick's drink along, a lot of people were making sure they were drinking a lot of water.
Hey now.
H2O.
Hey now.
Flushing the system.
Yeah. Drink. Yeah. Thanks, St. Patrick. Hey, yeah. St. Patrick's Day was this weekend, wasn't it?
Uh-huh. It was. Yeah. Saturday. So they had
green beer and water.
In water.
Jameson's. Water.
Yes, that's right. A lot of Jamerson. Very good. Awesome.
We always throw someone unhealthy in there somewhere.
Yeah. Ho's looking at us with four eyes right now. It's just like,
No. No, we...
Moderation.
Yes, moderation.
Everything is moderation. Mm-hmm. You know, I admire those people who are very strict in their regimen, but I'm not one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Right. We love to hear that when we have the specialist sitting here and saying, hey, it's important. I do indulge as a part of my lifestyle, but I most definitely had those side days. Right. Very nice.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot, Hope.
Okay. So, Hope, if someone wanted to get in contact with you, how could they reach you?
They can't, right?
Correct. No, they may reach out to you, and you will pass their information on to me.
Awesome.
I got that vibe. It was like, reach out to me for what?
For the senior consultations.
Well, yeah. You ain't fielding. You're not taking clients or anything at this point.
I am not. Okay. Well, I wouldn't mind. I would take a Head Start client. But I wouldn't, it's an organization.
Right.
Don't take individuals.
Okay.
Right, yeah. So if you have questions, we can definitely mm-hmm. help introduce you. You know, we're not trying to, you know.
Pimp me.
No, we're not trying to do that. But absolutely. I got the vibe from you that you weren't trying to, like, share, have people contacting you, mm-hmm. you got your stuff that you're working on, and we got a lot of respect for that. But mm-hmm. if we do come across something that might be of interest to you, then mm-hmm. we know how to reach you.
Mm-hmm. I'd appreciate that would be so nice.
Yes.
I'm always wanting to do something in the community. Once my organization, my little business, Consult Hope, Rash Fuel was having something. I don't know what it was, but I was consulted to come down. I did the demonstration just on water. And I had children. They were elementary mm-hmm. school children. And just introduced them to, like, okay, drinking water. Okay, they drank it. So mm-hmm. I introduced them to carbonated water.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. got the buzz, little fizz. And then mm-hmm. I introduced them to a little juice or some sugar-free flavorings to just introduce them to that there are other options other than a soda.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, or Arizona or a tropical island.
That big can.
Yeah.
It is so many calories. We just eat, we drink our calories.
Mm-hmm. And I would agree. I know that. You know, with the summer coming along, and, you know, when our favorite place, McDonald's, promotes teas. You know, you can get a whole 16, 18, for 20, right, for a dollar. So it becomes, oh, wow, I'm thirsty. It's hot. Let me go get, you know, sweet tea. And
half a half.
Yes.
Triple mix.
So you're right. Right. It's very easy and very can be unconscientious mm-hmm. that we are drinking a lot of sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're drinking our calories.
Mm-hmm. And our calories. I like how you've been drinking it in our calories. I remember mm-hmm. that.
That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So some good takeaways, Hope.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We've enjoyed you here. And we appreciate how you brought your vision of looking at health through beauty. Yeah, very much so.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The Wellness Connection podcast is brought to you by Hale Wellness, a social and interactive platform where we connect our community to local businesses, organizations, and individuals who have tools, services, and programs that nurture the mind, body, and spirit. Engage in awareness by taking our free wellness assessment and take first steps towards optimizing your wellness. Visit wellnessconnection.health.